Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Out here at 26 and Cal at criminal court on the steps of the courthouse, where behind me the trial of police officer Jason Van Dyke is ongoing, charged in the murder of Laquan McDonald. I just ran into a woman I talked to a few days ago. Her son was murdered. She had questions about police and the violence in the city. She tells me that it just was a continuance. You know how that goes, she said. And she thinks justice will be done. I don't know what that means, really, justice. I see what's going on in Washington with Brett Kavanaugh. Is that justice? The Supreme Court nominee now faces yet another accuser. This one, a woman that said she was drugged and that Kavanaugh was setting women up for gang rapes. It's odd that it comes right here, right now, at the end. I'm sure there'll be other accusations. The creepy porn lawyer, Avenatti, brought her. I'm not passing judgment on the women. I'm just passing judgment on the timing and on the assumption that you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent, because that's where we're at now, at least in the political realm. Many of the people that have been writing me have complained that this is not a criminal court and there should be an FBI investigation. The FBI should be involved. I ask you to listen to Joe Biden, former senator of Delaware, former vice president, who talked about the FBI and the Supreme Court and investigating nominees a number of years ago. It's making the rounds now because it basically puts an end to this type of talk.
The next person that refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything. FBI explicitly does not, in this or any other case, reach a conclusion. Period. Period. So, Judge, there's no reason why you should know this. The reason why we cannot rely on the FBI report, you wouldn't like it if we did, because it is inconclusive. They say he said, she said, and they said. Period. So when people wave an FBI report before you, understand, they do not reach conclusions. They do not make, as my friend points out more adequate, they do not make recommendations.
This is John Cass for Jeff Carlin of WGN News, producer of the Rokan Show with Anna Devlanis, back in the studios. WGN, putting this podcast together. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, hated by some, beloved by many, and a candidate for mayor myself. You know where you are. I might be on 26 in Cal, but I know where you are right now. You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Today, I'm talking to William Calloway, an activist who's been leading marches and demonstrations in Chicago over Laquan McDonald. We talk about the politics of the case, what happened to Rahm Emanuel, And whether there's been a little air coming out of the balloon now that Rahm Emanuel is no longer seeking re-election. I found Mr. Calloway to be a very thoughtful young man. I think he's a new breed of community activist, not one wedded in the doctrinaire leftist politics of the past. Someone who wants to consider other alternatives as well. You'll hear his interview, and I'm here at the courthouse right now. I walked up the other day. I've been coming the last few days. I walked up the other day, and I saw an attorney in a black Lexus with the sunroof off, I mean open. And he's smoking. And he's got this beautiful suit on, dark blue, like a, you know, I mean, looked like a champ. Some Rolex watches, a bracelet. He looked every inch the successful criminal defense attorney. He had a beard going, but trimmed. His hair was well done. Kind of a little portly, but, you know, slick. I looked at him and I said, "Better call Saul." And he said, "You're damn right. You better call Saul." But he was Irish. Good morning, Mr. Calloway.
Good morning.
So, we're sitting in the car, having coffee. William Calloway saying, "I'm in the car with John Cass, big time."
I've officially made it.
You've officially made it. The other day, I called you, and I said I wanted to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And you said, "Why?" And I said, "Well, because it's interesting, and also because people might think, you know, not think that here's John Cass, Mr. Conservative, talking to William Calloway." And you left.
Yeah. I mean, for one, I follow your work. I think you're one of the most prominent and columnists in the city of Chicago. Me and Brandon Smith and I definitely think very highly of you. You did write a great piece right before Laquan video came out, titled "The Video That Could Rip Chicago Apart." And I think until that column was released, the publicity around Laquan's video wasn't what it should have been, you know, and we thank you a ton for that.
Well, I just saw it as what it is. It would tear the city apart. It tore the politics of the city apart. There's a mayor named Rahm Emanuel that's no longer seeking re-election because of it. So let's get to this trial now. Mm-hmm. To me, there's two kinds of protesters. Maybe I'm wrong, and I don't mean to disrespect anybody. But you got those kind of like crazy old guys like Brother Westside and the little white guys that are hanging with them. Yeah, I don't know what that is. And then you have you guys. Is there a difference in the protest groups?
It's not necessarily a difference. I think everybody is out there exercising their First Amendment right. Everybody is out there being peaceful, demanding justice for Laquan McDonald. Everybody's philosophical ideals may be different in that part on how we get justice for Laquan McDonald. Some people believe in revolution. Some people believe in police and policy reform and complete overhaul on the system in general. But overall, we all believe that Jason Van Dyke murdered Laquan McDonald and he needed to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
There has been the suggestion, and I've seen you in videos and television, suggesting that Jason Van Dyke is not convicted of murder or something heavy, that there will be violence in the streets of Chicago. Is that a fair characterization of what you've said? And what do you think about it?
No, I've never said that. And I think Dan Herbert is responsible for promoting that unnecessary propaganda and hysteria. He put me in one of his he referenced me in one of his motions for the change of venue, describing that I've been going around publicly saying that the city should riot, et cetera. I personally am a believer in nonviolence. I believe that we should act nonviolent regardless of the verdict that's being rendered. But in the likelihood that he is not found guilty, I do firmly believe and will always believe in civil disobedience. I will always believe in the strategies and tactics of Dr. Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement and the strategies that they used to advance their cause for social justice and black liberation.
So you're not for violence, but you think it could happen?
I'm not for violence, and we don't know what could happen. Anything could happen. And, I mean, a lot of people thought the city would destroy itself when the video was released, and that didn't happen. It was peaceful demonstrations in the black community. The MAGMAL protests on Black Friday was very peaceful. People didn't riot. People didn't loot. And it just shows the calm of folks who want to get out here and demand justice and do it in a righteous and civil manner.
One thing I did notice, though, a few months ago, on the south side, before the trial, a barber who's armed is pulled, stopped by police. A female police officer reaches for him, maybe a little too aggressively. Maybe she didn't have street sense about her. Whatever it was, this guy panicked, spun. He got blown up by the cops on the street. And immediately there was a blow up on the street. There were rocks and bottles full of urine reported, thrown at police. There were groups massing. When I saw that, I thought, okay, and Rahm Emanuel saw it too, because he was freaked out about it. I remember he came back from another one of his big business trips with rich folks and had this little tiny voice, remember? Mm-hmm. And he was like, let's love each other. Let's love each other. And I thought, man, this guy's running scared. And after that barber and that protest, it wasn't it natural to think that, you know, it could erupt because of with the Laquan?
Without a doubt. I think what happened in our community, because I'm from that 71st Street corridor in South Shore, and I was on the scene immediately after it happened. Without a doubt, I think what happened with Harith Snoop Augustus in South Shore really shows sort of the temperature, if you will, of the black community and law enforcement here in the city of Chicago. And I think South Shore was a really prime example because you didn't have traditional activists or protesters. These was really raw community members, people that are everyday Chicagoans, everyday South Shoreans that live over there. And I think, without a doubt, it shows what could possibly happen. But I don't believe that it happened. I think that their energy and the zeal that they possess has to be channeled and directed in a more productive way. We didn't have a sense of direction that night. And I refute any notion that bottles of urine was being thrown. Us as African Americans, we don't practice stuff like that. Bottles were being thrown. Rocks were being thrown. Yes, but urine in bottles, the police put that narrative out, and I'm going to refute that. That didn't happen. Everything else happened, but also
I read that in the Tribune.
In the Tribune. But also, it must be noted that the police attacked us. The police waited until all the media cameras left, turned their body cameras off, and 40 to 50 officers with batons, I think some of your colleagues, was also attacked and shoved to the ground.
You know, one thing I've seen, William, is that since Rahm, we talked about this when we were getting coffee. Mm-hmm. Why did Rahm withdraw? And I said it was because of the Laquan thing. Because if things go bad, meaning if people get violent or if there's unrest on the street as a result of the trial, he would wear the jacket. And either way, he would wear the jacket because he hid the video for so long. What do you think of that?
I think that Rahm Emanuel, you should have been charged with obstruction of justice. And by the state statute, I believe he covered up Laquan McDonald's video. There's no way, even Gary McCarthy said he notified Rahm Emanuel immediately after the situation had occurred. I think it was a collusion between him, Rahm Emanuel, Gary McCarthy, and former general counsel Steve Patton, and they all corroborated and colluded to keep this video covered up from the public for re-election purposes for the 2015 election. He should be charged with obstruction of justice, and I believe that.
Was it unfortunate? I tend to agree with most of that. Was it unfortunate then that President Barack Obama would endorse Rahm Emanuel for re-election, with the insiders at City Hall knowing, in my belief, that they were sitting on the video.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I can't speak to the knowledge of what Barack knew about the situation, because you know he's a world leader and not just a Chicago city leader anymore. But I'm not sure, you know, what he knew that Rahm knew. But you know, Barack has done a lot of disappointing things that my generation doesn't agree with at all. But that's one of them.
Well, we could talk for an hour about Barack Obama, not in my mind, ignoring the city of Chicago, particularly black youth and their hopelessness and despair. You know, he was on an agenda of, white liberal agenda, and he didn't do what he could have done working with Republicans to free up economic movement in the cities. I didn't see it. I think people are, your generation is a different generation. They're not so tied into the old-timey, oh, thank you, Mr. Committeeman, for my ham and my turkey. Now I'll vote for you. I don't think that works anymore.
No, I don't think that works anymore either. We want to see action. We want to see changes. We don't. Our generation is a real independent-minded generation. We don't care if you're Republican. We don't care if you're Democrat. We want you to advance what's best for our people and our demographic. And we haven't been seeing that. And so one can argue we haven't been seeing that from both parties, from the liberals or the conservatives. But we are, my generation, I speak for myself really, but my peers, we're not too well pleased with the current state of either parties.
If a black man in the past, as I was coming up and studying politics in the past, if they ever deviated from the Democratic Party line, there would be old timers who would say, you know, like they said about Barack Obama, you're not black enough. They would play the black card nonsense on you or whatever. And how does that keep people in line? Or does it keep people in line anymore?
Well, I'm free. I can't speak for everybody else, but me and mines, we are free. We are free to think how we want to think. We are independent minded. At the end of the day, you gotta look at the facts. Rahm Emanuel, Democrat. Anita Alvarez, Democrat. Mike Madigan, Democrat. I think those three entities themselves speaks volumes to the plight of the African-American community and why we're suffering. All three are Democrats. All three I would never vote for.
And Rich Daley? Bill Daley? And
Daley the same way.
Back on the Laquan for a second. It seems that now that Rahm Emanuel is pulled out of the race, I saw you in court the other day. We talked about this in the hallway. Is it, in my mind, maybe I'm wrong, but I get a sense that with Rahm Emanuel pulling out, knowing that he'd wear the jacket for all this, that it kind of took some air out of the balloon.
It depends what you mean by air. I think that people need a target to be mad at. And I think for a long time, Rahm has been. And I think as long as he's in office, will continue to be a target. But I don't think that changes anything. It changes the dynamics for folks that's running in the race right now and people that's entering it, without a doubt. But the fact remains still that he covered the tape up. It's because of his policies that the community and the city at large has been suffering, right? And it took the activist community along with the journalist community to force a lot of this change that we see going on.
And the main journalist that forced it wasn't me, but that independent journalist that got the tape, right? I forgot his name.
My brother, Brandon Smith.
Right. Yep. And that, to me, was significant. In closing, can Jason Van Dyke get a fair trial? I'm thinking this because just the other day I wrote a column about Brett Kavanaugh and the idea that you got to convict a guy without due process politically. You know, the Democrats are saying, oh, yes, he assaulted women, but we don't really have corroborating evidence on that, but we're expected to believe it. And I wanted to flip that around and think about Van Dyke too. Is he getting, can he get a fair trial in this county, knowing how judges get elected and the politics of all this and the Chicago way? Or is he destined to go down to serve a larger purpose, which is not having unrest in the city?
Well, if we look at the facts of what's going on with his case, the facts is it's over 1.9 million jurors in the county, potential jurors in the county. You only need 12 to be impartial. The prosecution and the defense picked those 12 together. And I sat in with a couple of those interviews for the jurors. I definitely feel that they are impartial. I do feel that they are going to be fair. And when you look at the other facts of the case, look, he shot Laquan 16 times. The first two took the young man down. The rest of the 14, he emptied the clip while he was lifeless. And Laquan was walking away.
I called it murder when I saw it.
His murder, to me, is murder one, you know.
But you have to get inside a man's mind and prove intent.
To prove intent, without a doubt. So, nevertheless, I think that Joe McMahon and the special prosecution did a phenomenal job beyond a reasonable doubt proving that he murdered Laquan McDonald.
What is the future of your organization and what is the future of William Calloway and your friends, your allies? Because I don't know if you're really tight with Jamal, but I had him on the Chicago Way a few weeks ago. And he said that there are candidates running in 12 wards, at least in black wards. And at that time he was saying that, and the incumbent black alderman will be challenged on their, you know, on their Rom love, you know, like all the aldermen who were like running like puppies around Rom's legs, like a little puppy when they get scared and they go to the master's legs. Mm. I didn't mean master in the, I meant it in the dog sense, mm-hmm. not in the racial sense. Mm-hmm. But that would be used against them. Is that going on? Is there something happening out there?
Yeah, for your listeners, I don't know if people, most folks don't, but as you know, I ran for state rep early this year, unsuccessful bid, but it was
Earlene Collins. You challenged the incumbent Democrat.
Well, Barbara Curry
Barbara
Curry, yeah.
Sorry.
She's actually retiring. But
that was Mike. You challenged Mike Madigan's number one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Ice Lady, right?
The Ice Lady.
Come on, man.
Hey, man.
She's the one. She's the one that had, like, I found this document in my drawer. That kind of woman, right?
But I think I was the first activist to get out there to run for political office. And I think that premise sort of stuck with everybody and rubbed off on everybody else. And what are we starting to see now is more community organizers and more grassroots activists step up to the plate and see that we need to translate our protests into policy. And that's the most important thing that we're trying to convey to everybody, that we just don't want to march. We just don't want to protest and demonstrate, but we want political power. We demand political power.
How does that translate with, Boss Preckwinkle coming in?
We don't really care.
I put everybody on the spot, even you, man.
Man,
in my car.
I'm good with that. Is that certain names don't carry no weight with me. Maybe in other political structures, or certain names don't carry any weight. I think that they're not productive to the black community, you know. And certain names that you can mention, I don't really think too highly of them. I don't know them personally, but the policies and politics I don't agree with.
I remember Toni when she was running against Tim Evans, mm-hmm. That's how old I am, as an alderman, and Daly sent his crew down to help her.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Ty Kenner, guys like that, old-time boxers, Ernie Terrell, stuff like
what?
That. Hey, man, it's the Chicago way. It's the street of broken dreams, William Calloway. Wake up, get woke, man.
I woke. So we want to change the Chicago way, and I think that's what it started with, this police reform, because I think that for so long the Chicago way was that you could do anything exercise this misconduct and these cover-ups and not be held accountable for it. That was the Chicago way for a long time. And we're changing that. And we got a long way to go, but we've changed that narrative. And we're going to change City Hall, and we're going to change Cook County as a whole. Our generation is really trying to push the pendulum for it, so I'm proud of us.
William Callaway, community organizer. Unlike the community organizers I've known in the past, a man of judgment who thinks long term. Thank you for being here on the Chicago Way.
And thank you for having me, John.
Well, we are volunteers of America. Volunteers of America. Volunteers of America. Volunteers of America.
That was something with Callaway. I think he understands Chicago a lot more than one might think if you just read about him as a protester at the Laquan McDonald trial or the Jason Van Dyke trial. I think he's been giving this some thought. And Kavanaugh, that circus hasn't ended. That'll continue with more and more last-minute accusations, screaming. The idea is to make Republicans toxic to suburban women. And if the Supreme Court has to be destroyed or discredited, and if our institutions have to be discredited, if Kavanaugh has to be discredited with new accusations now, delay. I pass no judgment on the women. Again, I just think about the timing and the construction and the framing of all this. Down below me, there are not many protesters outside on this beautiful sunny day out in front of the criminal courts. The crazy guy, Brother Westside, with his flag and his R&B music, is shouting. No one's paying attention to them. Cops and lawyers, judges, people walking back and forth. But a city is waiting. The city is waiting for that verdict in the Jason Van Dyke trial. And how it goes and what happens after will tell us a lot about our politics. For Jeff Carlin, here again, will tell us a lot about our politics. For William Callaway, organizer, protester, but also, I think, someone with a future in Chicago, in the civic life. Whether we disagree or agree on things, that's not the point. The point is to let people speak and let you to hear them. For Jeff Carlin, my buddy and co-host of the Chicago Way, and for me, John Cass, husband, father, hashtag Cass for mayor. Yeah, I live in the suburbs, but hey, what's a little violation of the rules now and then? Thanks for joining us. Thanks for visiting on this and another edition of the Chicago Way on WGN+.